My name is Mara, and I'm an alcoholic, and my sobriety date is April 10th, 2012, and I have a sponsor. Her name is Jenny. She's a really tiny lady. She was, I think she was up at your meeting a couple of months ago before all of this happened. So, I am going to try to fill up this whole hour and tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I get really nervous about speaking for a long time because we have much shorter blocks at my home group, and I'm not very long-winded, but I will try to fill it the whole time. There's a lot to talk about with what's going on now, so I started drinking when I was about 13 or 14. I grew up in Maryland, probably like 20 miles from here, from where I live now. I've never left, you know, I've like pretty much lived in this radius my entire life. But I started drinking like the summer before going into high school, and I always like mention this because I hear a lot of people in AA like describe the first time that they drank with this like clarity, this like lightning bolt moment of whatever. And like, I don't really have that. I just kind of remember that summer. My parents used to have these really big parties. And I remember in the morning one day, and I don't know if this is the first time I drank. I just remember like drinking from a warm keg the next day while they were still asleep, and taking a bunch of like warm Coronas up to my room and hiding them in my closet. And at some point I like pulled them out later on and like drank them like with one friend sitting in my bedroom. Drinking kind of came like at the perfect time for me because I don't like before high school, probably around like sixth grade, things were really going downhill for me, emotionally. I'm not sure I can 100% describe why, but I definitely felt already this, immense sense of being less than and comparing myself to the people around me and like I wasn't good enough. And I did not have a good relationship with my parents. I was very angry. I was just kind of like this kid that would like get home from school and go upstairs and like shut the door. And I really didn't like want anything to do with them. I was a really good swimmer. And so like by the time I was in kindergarten and, you know, and all throughout elementary school, I was like waking up for swim practice, like before going to elementary school, going to like swim meets, like all over. I had swim practice every day, even in the summers. And I kind of think like by sixth grade, like I was kind of done growing and all the other girls were getting taller and bigger. And like, I wasn't getting faster anymore. And I was starting to resent that I felt like I was being made to do this, to swim. I mean, it was a number of things, but just to point out, like, I was not happy at all and very depressed, was already thinking, just having thoughts of suicide at such a young age. And then, when I started drinking in high school, it was like my world just like changed overnight. And I should say, my mom was a teacher. I went to this really small Catholic school. My mom was a teacher there. And so like my teachers would know the grades that I got on tests, or my mom would know if I didn't like get a good grade on something before I did sometimes. And I was just so excited to go to high school and like get a, like be free, like get away from having my parents like on my back all the time. I don't know. I just know that I kind of found the people that were drinking like right away. And right away, you know, it was just kind of like drinking every Friday night before a football game. You know, getting drunk and like making out with some boy in the woods, or, you know, just things like that. And that was just kind of what I did like every weekend. But I wasn't at that time like getting in a lot of serious trouble. I really didn't have, really hardly any like serious consequences in high school. And, I don't know, I like, at least at the time, you know, being 13, 14, whatever, I really felt like I was drinking just the way that the other people were around me. But as like high school kind of went on, I just started to notice like emotionally things were catching up with me and getting a lot worse. I spent a lot of time in the counselor's office at school. They would come looking for me at lunch. I would just kind of find myself crying a lot and not really knowing why, or not being able to like express why I felt the way that I did. But I just remember like crying one day and telling my friends, like, I feel so alone. And I don't know why, because I had friends. Like, I did. There were people that really cared about me. But I, when I wasn't drunk, and I wasn't aware of this in the, at that time, but, you know, when I didn't have something in my system, I felt so different from everybody else. I definitely, like, looking back now, I can tell that I was very afraid of people too. I would, like avoid going through certain hallways at school and having to pass by certain people, the upperclassmen. I would like take the long way all the way around to get to my classes. I would sit in the back of class. Even when I knew the answers to things, I wouldn't raise my hand. So my senior year, things were getting pretty bad for me in that department. I guess, oh, that's weird. The screen just changed. Where was I going with this? I had always been like really athletic, and my senior year, it seemed to be more fun to skip track practice and just like go get high. And so that's kind of what I ended up doing. I eventually just kind of stopped going to those practices. I was really good. I was really good at swimming. I was really good at running. And I just say that because by the time I got to college and drinking had become first in my life, like I wasn't doing anything like that anymore at all. You know, I was totally burned out from any kind of physical exercise. So I turned 18. I got into Maryland. And again, like I had applied to all of these schools, and the only reason I wasn't thinking about, oh, what do these schools offer in terms of, what am I going to learn there? What is my major going to be? It was like, what are the top 10 schools in the country with the best football teams? because I want to go to a school that has a really good football team and they have really big tailgates, and I can, that's the kind of environment I wanted to be in. So I went to Maryland, and I was in this program where all of my classes were at night. So I didn't have to wake up before like noon for anything. Like, and that really allowed me to drink, every day. And that's not what I thought would happen. But yeah, I moved to College Park, and, pretty much right after I got there, I got a fake ID, and anytime someone would invite me out to go somewhere, I just couldn't say no. And my roommates used to like laugh about it. I remember like writing like post-its, like little like fake contracts for myself promising to come home. You know, or that I wouldn't drink that night. And it was like a joke then, but I was drinking every day. And that's really when my drinking changed, seemingly overnight. Like I had a lot of fun in high school. I kind of remember it that way. You know, I think I got like a citation once for, you know, being underage at a party, but I had never really truly done anything that I had embarrassed myself with, you know, tremendously, or hurt anybody or lost anything or whatever. I just like, I guess I shouldn't say that's true because my relationship with my parents was getting worse and worse the longer I was home. But yeah, like overnight, I turned 18 in September that year, my freshman year. And I remember going out to a bar the night of my birthday, and I remember talking to this guy at the bar, and the next thing I knew, I was waking up in an apartment, and I didn't know where I was. There was nobody there. I didn't have my shoes. I didn't have my phone. I didn't have my wallet. Even if I had left the apartment barefoot, I wouldn't have known where to walk to get back to my dorm. And I just kind of like wandered around this house for a little while trying to figure out what I should do. I opened this laptop that was sitting there and like got on Facebook and messaged one of my friends, like, I don't know where I am. And then like a little while later, that guy that I had apparently gone home with, came back to his apartment and drove me back to my dorm. But like, I didn't even know his name. And that really became a very regular thing for me. Honestly, probably a couple nights a week. I was, from that day forward, I was waking up in places and I didn't know how I got there, with people I didn't know whose names they were. And, I basically blacked out almost every time I drank from that day forward. And, so my freshman year of college was, just a disaster, just awful, because I wasn't telling anyone that I was blacking out. I would like kind of ask questions the next morning, like sideways questions to try to figure out what had happened the night before. I was doing things to try to control my drinking without even noticing it. But, like really, I was just trying to control my behavior. I didn't like the things that happened when I drank. But I remember like logging onto the computer and typing in the like, oh, I forget what it's called, your blood alcohol content. I remember like typing that into the computer, like, well, how many drinks, should I like not, or what's the maximum amount of drinks I can have so I'm not, you know, really, really getting over the edge. And I would like try to figure it out that way. But it was just so easy for me. And I remember saying things to myself, like, I just accidentally drank too fast last night. I just thought I accidentally drank too fast all the time. And like the speed, I don't know. And, you know, and later came to understand what that was, you know, the phenomenon of craving. I didn't have that with other things. I would have like 5 shots before I would even leave my dorm to go to the bar. And then at that point, I would have no idea how many drinks I had. I know I'm kind of all over the place, but just to put it in perspective, I'm not a huge person. And the bar, the only bar I went to was this, you know, dump bar that literally when I left college, I saw pictures on Facebook of the women's bathroom. Somebody had put one of the toilets had broken in there, and they put one of those orange like utility buckets that they use on construction sites in the stall instead of fixing the toilet. So that's the kind of bar I drank at every day. But my dad would give me like $500 at the beginning. I don't know if that's how much. I think it was that much, but he would give me that much money at the beginning of every month to pay for food and whatever. And I would go out on a Friday night and spend like $150 at the bar, like just me. And these weren't like expensive drinks. They were like $2 drinks, you know? So if you do the math on that one, I just couldn't explain it, you know? I can't tell you how much I actually was drinking, but it was a lot. So anyways, by the end of my freshman year of college, I had resorted to like taking a Sharpie and writing my address on my stomach, like basically like, please don't sleep with me. Here's my address. Like I didn't know what to do. I actually really thought that would work. And I was so ashamed of myself because on a campus of like 30,000 people, I would walk to class and like people driving on campus would like yell things out the car window at me. And I would walk into a restaurant and people would turn their heads and like look at me, and I could tell they were talking about me. And I know alcoholics are people that think everyone is talking about them, but this was like actually happening. Because I was just that girl, you know, I had totally destroyed my reputation. I wish that I could have walked around with a paper bag over my head. So at the end of that year, I cut off all my hair. I had my hair like this short. I dyed it bright blonde, and I just kind of thought maybe I can come back to school next year looking like a different person. And if nobody recognizes me, maybe I can just start over. And I just didn't want to be sleeping with people anymore. I didn't want to be embarrassing myself. And I got a boyfriend that summer that I really legitimately liked. And then I started school again in the fall and basically just picked up exactly where I left off. And I found myself doing the same stuff and cheating on this person that I didn't want to be. And I think he kind of caught on, and that didn't last, obviously. But from there, things just got worse and worse for me. I had moved off of campus into this tiny little house that I really only picked the house because it was as physically close as possible to the bars as I could get. There were no other closer houses. I thought that was great. I thought, oh, if I live close to the bars and I can't, and it's possible for me to walk home, maybe I won't do these things anymore, you know? But that didn't, you know, that didn't happen. And I was telling my husband and I were talking about this on the car ride back here today. We went for a hike today. I sometimes struggle to remember certain things because of how much I blacked out when I drank. There's so many things I don't remember. There's a lot of things I'm glad I don't remember, honestly. But, you know, I just had so many nights where, like, it's miraculous that, like, I didn't end up murdered or something. Like, people would find me wandering, like, miles away from campus in these, like, back neighborhoods or parking lots or whatever. I just would drink and then just wander. And one night that happened, where some friends actually from back home, they didn't even live on campus, just happened to have their car parked in the parking lot and found me by myself and got me back to my house. But I can list dozens of times where that happened. You know, I've been picked up by police officers who, like, kindly told me, you need to get in the car. I am taking you home. But those were the nights that I was lucky, honestly, and some nights I wasn't. So, you know, by the end of this year, I was, like, waking up in the hospital. One night my roommates came home and found me in the bathtub, and there was blood all over the walls. I still don't really know what happened, but I think I was just drunk and fell in the bathtub, and blood ended up everywhere. But so my behavior was really scaring people. And in 4 years of college, I think I lived in five different places, five or six, because the people I lived with would just be so like, what is wrong? You know, they didn't want anything to do with me. I was just such a liability, would be bringing strange men into the house, you know, would leave the door wide open, would smoke cigarettes in my bedroom, you know. And somewhere in there, I think, I can't remember if it was my junior or senior year, my sophomore year, I got my first DUI. I was 19, so maybe it was my sophomore year, but I got my first DUI, leaving a bar in Bethesda, Maryland. And I just, like, didn't think that was a big deal. I felt like, well, everyone I know drinks and drives, and this happens to everybody, and, you know. So that was the first time after that happened, that was like the first time I went to an AA meeting. And I found one on campus, and I walked in, and I went because I had to, because my lawyer told me I needed to go for court. It just, like, freaked me out. I came in to this meeting and there were college professors there, as well as students, and I think I went to one other AA meeting after that, and it was at a church that a lot of people I knew growing up had gone to, and I remember that they said the Lord's Prayer at the end of the meeting, and that really scared me too, because I was just like, oh no, like, I have to be religious if this is going to work for me. That was it. That was all I needed to hear for me to be, like, totally turned off. And, you know, which is, if I had listened to anything else they said in the meeting, maybe there would have been something different then, but I didn't. And so I remember that happening. And basically the next 2 years of college were just everything else multiplied by 10, you know. I was walking home from the bar one night alone, and I was attacked, and like by this point I was living like so alone, even though I had roommates. I had no friends anymore, really. I had really only had one friend who drank exactly the same way that I did, and we were both just a disaster. But she's the one that like saw this happen. It happened like right across the street from my house as I was walking home, and she called the police. No, she scared him off. And the next morning, the only reason I called the police is because I knew that the people that I lived with knew that this had happened. It wasn't like I actually cared about myself anymore. I really didn't have any kind of feelings about what happened to my life. You know, that's how little I cared about myself. I was, you know, because my life had turned into going weeks at a time without talking to another person, and coming home from class and sitting on my front porch and drinking alone and listening to sad music for hours, and then taking a pill to be asleep, and then waking up and taking another pill to be awake, and smoking some weed and going to class, and no other real interaction in my day. I don't know. I'm losing my train of thought right now. Sorry. Because by this point I had kind of gathered enough information about myself that bad things happen when you go to bars. So still there wasn't anything really on my radar like, oh, maybe you should slow down with your drinking. It was just that bad things happen when you go to bars. So that's what I was trying not to do. And instead I really just became a complete hermit. And okay, it's 6:30. I still got some time. My senior year of college and in the summer before my last year of school, I was taking some summer classes, and that's really when it started to sink in with me that like I could not function like a normal human being anymore. Like, you know, at one point in my life, I had the discipline as a young kid to wake up before school and go to swim practice and, you know, do all these things in my day. And I just like couldn't even brush my teeth anymore. I basically never bought groceries anyways, but you know, I never had groceries in my fridge. I just had vodka and like cheese, maybe some corn dogs, but that was it. I would have to get drunk or high to do my laundry. You know, I had this pile of clothes and pile of dishes that I couldn't even like see my desk in my room. And I kind of just slept with all of this filth around me, wine boxes behind my head and cigarettes and I just couldn't do anything. And I would wake up and try to like get myself together to go to class, and I would like throw up. And it wasn't even necessarily because I had been drinking the night before. I just felt so much anxiety about having to leave the house and do things that like you're supposed to do during the day. I just felt like I couldn't do it. So my senior year, I was in school to be a teacher, and I kind of knew that I was in trouble, you know, as far as like my ability to function. And so this is when I started trying to do things to really like get my life together and try to pull myself up by my bootstraps, I guess you would say. So I got, you know, I'm a full-time student. I had a job at the pool. I had my internship with student teaching, and I decided to get another internship, at a music hall. So basically I just thought, if I make myself really, really, really busy, then I won't drink, then I won't get in trouble. And that didn't work either. This internship that I got was with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. And that fall, I had to be at my first concert with them at like 5 o'clock on a Saturday. And that was the day of our first football game of the season. And I went out at like 11 o'clock that morning and told myself I was going to have one beer. And then I woke up at 10 p.m. So I had missed it, you know. So I guess I could just say, like, that last year of school, I was really, like, getting all of the evidence that, like, I couldn't do it anymore. And I moved back home with my parents in January of 2012 because I moved home in December because I was supposed to begin my full-time student teaching for my last semester of college. And I thought if I move back home with my parents, I'll get out of this environment and maybe then I'll be able to show up for school and do what I need to do. And what happened was on a Thursday night, I was at the same bar that I had gotten my first DUI at. Some friends had invited me out and I told myself I was going to have one drink. And I don't even really remember, there's something I should say before this, but I'll come back to that. So I got my second DUI on January 21st of 2012. And on New Year's, I had been in Deep Creek. I was on vacation with my family for New Year's, and I blacked out with like my entire extended family. I had small children in the house, and my dad had picked me up from the bar that night, and I didn't remember. And I was pretty terrified that had happened because I had been telling myself this whole time, like, oh, this just happens when I'm in College Park, you know. I had never done that in front of my family. And on the drive home from that trip, I prayed for God to never let me have more than three drinks. I specifically said that number. And then 3 weeks after that, I got my second DUI. So, and that's how I ended up here. Because I just didn't have any more, lies to tell myself, you know. I didn't have anything. And as much as I was terrified because I was 21 and I felt like I'm young, my life is supposed to be beginning, I'm graduating from college, but really my life felt like it was ending. So I got that second DUI and I promised my dad, because he was going to kick me out if I didn't do something. And I promised my dad that I would go to an AA meeting. And I did a couple days after telling him. And I drank one more time after that. But I went to an AA meeting a couple days after I got that DUI. And the first meeting I ever went to, I came in. The meeting was starting at 8 o'clock. If you can imagine behind me, I walked in the room, like the back door. Basically, I walked in and all of the people sitting in the chairs were facing me. So I came in late and everybody saw me walk in instead of what I would have rather done, was which would have been walk in the back for no one to see me. But that's what happened. And I heard a speaker talk about getting his third DUI and just feeling so empty and like the wind was like blowing through him. And I related to that. And then after the meeting, all of these girls came up to me and were giving me their phone numbers. And they invited me to come and play cards. And I went, actually, even though I like really, part of me really didn't want to, but I went because at that time I felt like there was nothing left in this world that loved me except for like my dog. So I went and I met some girls and they told me about a couple other meetings and they told me I should get a sponsor. And so pretty much from that day, I started going to meetings every day and I got a sponsor probably like 3 days later because everybody kept asking me and I didn't want people to talk to me anymore. So I got this sponsor that I maybe had for like a month, because I eventually met someone that actually lived a lot closer to me that I really connected with. And I was just really scared to be in AA. There was like 51% of me wanted to stop drinking and the other like 49% of me was so unready to give up the rest of my life, my friends and all the things that I was used to doing, which is really like everything in my life revolved around alcohol at that point, you know? And because of that, I wasn't willing to make friends. I would go to meetings every day, but I didn't want to make friends. I didn't want to, even though I would call my sponsor, I wasn't ready to tell her everything I was thinking or doing or thinking about doing. And so basically I found myself, I drank three more times, I think, in this period of time between going to my first meeting and my current sobriety date. And that was actually like good information for me because I would go to the meeting and then I would feel like, okay, like, why not? My life could only get better if I just tried this for like a year, you know? And I would kind of like try to pump myself up by saying that and like, but then I would find myself stopping at the liquor store on the way home and getting drunk by myself, like sitting in a chair like this and blacking out and then waking up 4 hours later, just like sitting in my living room, you know? And the last time I drank, it was a Monday night. I had gotten home from work. I was tired. I didn't want to go to these meetings every day because they were telling me to go every day. And I was like, no, not doing that. And I turned on the TV and the people on TV were drinking and it looked good. And that's how I found myself drinking again. And that is really when it sunk in with me. Like I did not want to be doing that, you know, this is what they're talking about when they say that I have a mind that is trying to kill me. I have a mind that is trying to get me to come back to drinking again. And so I don't know, like basically from that point out, also I had gotten back to this place of feeling like I was about to kill myself. And I just started to listen to everything that that my sponsor told me to do, literally everything. She told me to go change my phone number. because not because people were calling me, but because I had people's phone numbers and I couldn't stay away from them. And so she came with me to the Verizon store and changed my phone number. And my first sponsor was really, really involved in service and in like planning activities within the fellowship. And it was so perfect for me because I was so afraid of people. I was so, didn't know how to talk to people anymore, you know? And she kind of forced me to like come along to all of these things and help with all of these things and set up for these events early and come make lemonade before the meeting and whatever. And she kind of like tricked me into making friends. Because in coming to the events early and setting up and whatever for service, I found myself in smaller groups of people that I didn't feel as afraid to talk to. And I'm so glad that I had a sponsor that really was super involved because, I mean, like I said, like she, for my first 6 months, she would like meet me in the parking lot and walk with me to come inside because that's how afraid I was of people. And I would sit next to her. I don't know. So, I guess I'll use the last 15 minutes to kind of talk about like all that, you know, sobriety has kind of looked like for me. I had that first sponsor for, I guess like 3 years. And at a certain point, I had become really resentful towards her. It's honestly hard for me to even remember why now because we are good friends again today. But it was both of us, and so I got a new sponsor, and that one too, I like switched to someone that I didn't even really know that well, but she really did help me kind of see. I should back up. That relationship with my first sponsor, the last conversation that we had, I thought she was firing me and I was so angry. Cause that's what I heard her say, even that isn't what she actually said. That I actually felt like I was going to drink again. That's how angry I was. And I had broken up with my first boyfriend actually ever in my entire life. I don't even know how old I was at that point, but really I'd never had a real relationship ever until I got to AA because all I ever did was sleep with people. So it was not a good time and I was very devastated. And I got this other sponsor that really helped me work through that resentment. And she taught me, you know, the story in the back of the big book, Freedom from Bondage, where it explains that, you know, with some of these bigger resentments that in that story, it says you pray for the person for 2 weeks every day. But I ended up doing that for like 6 months with my first sponsor. But it worked. I mean, it's a miracle that she and I can have a good relationship today. Is someone I can call and talk to if I need to, can do service with today, whatever. And then my second sponsor, had two babies and I was not well. And, really just, I ended up switching because I needed to have a sponsor that I could have more, face-to-face time with, and that's how I ended up with the sponsor that I have now, who is just so much like me. I can't even. She's a teacher too, and has really just helped me, like, you know, in so many ways with that, and has so many of the same defects that I have, especially with this. this tremendous level of feeling less than, that has really been something that has been lifted from me in a lot of ways. And that's just crazy, because I can't even really understand anymore, like, why I felt so badly about myself, you know? I've done all of the steps. I've made all but one of my face-to-face amends that I need to. And I sponsor other people. And today, the last couple of months, I don't know about you guys, but it's been weird. You know, I really do and have found, how much I place my reliance on the fellowship. And that was something when I got here, I didn't put a whole lot of thought into, you know, it said in the 12 and 12, you can make the group your higher power. And I was like, well, that's what I'm going to do, you know? And it worked for me. And I do believe, like, I can't really explain much more to you, but whatever happens here works. And this, there is something that happens here that I can't explain, but I have definitely had a hard time. And it has caught up with me just not having the kind of face-to-face interaction that I really get my energy today from being around people, and which is just crazy, because that's not, it's just so opposite from like the way that I used to live. But you know, I am I struggle with, like, I do call people, but I could honestly say, like, I could be doing more. I could be calling people more. I kind of feel like I'm walking through sludge right now with my motivation, just for anything, you know, and as weird as it feels, because it does still feel weird to really, everybody that I've heard has kind of been emphasizing prayer and meditation, which I don't, I can say that I've always prayed. I can say that but I can also say that I'm 8 years sober and have never, ever, until this coronavirus thing happened, really been someone that meditated at all. You know, and I've been trying to do that at least a little bit more than I did. But it's weird, and I really do look forward to when we can be back to in-person meetings. And even if that means, like, I just have a couple people in my backyard or something like that, you know, things that I'm, like, able to do safely, I have to put more effort into that for me. So I don't know if I have much more to really say tonight. I'm just really grateful to be sober. Sometimes I forget how really, like, bad my life was, you know, until I, like, really think about how different things are now. You know, I'm used to living a certain way. I'm used to being a certain, like, being comfortable, that I don't think about how uncomfortable I used to be all the time, you know. But I'm really glad that you asked me to speak tonight, Billy, and thanks for letting me share.